Hi everyone, welcome to the Unmissed podcast. Today's guest is Sarah McConsai, an SEO lead at Bluegrass. With extensive experience in SEO and digital marketing, Sarah helps businesses adapt to the evolving world of the search landscape, where AI-driven results are reshaping how brands appear online. Before we dive into today's discussion, here's something to think about. Traditional SEO is no longer enough. A recent study found that nearly 40% of Gen Z users prefer AI-powered search tools like ChatGPT and Google's SGE over traditional search engines. With AI-generated answers reducing click-through rates, businesses need to rethink their digital strategies to stay visible and relevant. Sarah is here to help us understand how to navigate this shift and ensure brands are optimized for the future of search. I'm your host, Chelsea Alves, and I'm excited to welcome Sarah to the podcast. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Elsie.
Thanks. So to get started today, let's just dive in. Can you share a bit of your professional background and how you became an expert in SEO?
Yes, sure. So as you say, I'm SEO lead at Bluegrass, a team partner. So in fact, I became an SEO professional probably 10 years ago, or a bit more than 10 years ago, but gradually, I would say, I also integrated this part of everything that is answer engine, like chatbots, or like ChatGPT, etc. The passage, if you want, it was a bit of a necessity from my point of view, because it was like, it was obvious that it was a big thing and you needed to adapt. And then search engines were not the only way of searching. So I first started thinking about it like maybe a couple of years ago when there was like Bing Chat. At the time it was Bing Chat, not Copilot. And I started collaborating with Jason Bernard on that to analyze, start to think a bit how can brand adapt if you want. And then second thing that happened, I started working for Bluegrass, which in fact is part of a bigger group than it calls Farner. And they do a lot of branding. They are specialized in branding, which in fact was obviously these two combinations made me really think, okay, how can I ensure that the client brands are integrated, for example, in ChatGPT? How can I make sure then if I'm Dyson and I have curly hair, it's a big problem for me, my curly hair, then I'm like, okay, give me hair a dryer for curly hair, and if I'm Dyson, I want to disappear in ChatGPT, for example, or Gemini, Perplexity, or whatever you want. So this is a bit the background that I had, and the passage then in the past few years, I started really switching from hard SEO to integrating also everything then in search, generative search.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounds like a natural progression. I know, you know, AI and generative search have like really transformed the way people are searching, and it's kind of a newer thing. So I'm excited to kind of dive into it more and hear like your thoughts around it. So as I just said, generative search is changing the way that people discover businesses online. How would you define generative search, and what makes it different from traditional search?
So in fact, I was discussing this, like I think last week with somebody inside the company, because, you know, sometimes I have this problem and I think just from the technical point of view, okay, so we should do this, and he was like, but this is not an answer, no? And in fact, I have to think about it, and the big difference is the difference of click. So in the reality, I go, let's speak about ChatGPT because it's probably one of the most famous. I go to ChatGPT, I ask a question, and I have an answer. I do not have to think. I write something, I click a button, and I have an answer. There is not the thinking part. There is not the researching part. The machine do it for me. Instead, when I'm on Google, I need to search. And because of that, I also was reading a paper that Adobe came up with, and they were exactly explaining that. Now, for example, for the holiday season, people were using exactly ChatGPT, for example, and just asking, tell me what is the cheapest, I don't know, computer, the cheapest Dell computer of this model, for example. You go there and you get the answer directly. So this is really a no-brainer. And I think that this is the big difference. When you it's no more required for you to do your research. You have all your answer in one go. It's really fast and makes life much easier for somebody.
Yeah, it kind of reduces the need to have to click through to a search result if you can find all the information you need through, you know, generative search.
Exactly.
So many businesses still rely on classic SEO tactics like keyword optimization and backlinks. What shifts do brands need to make to stay competitive in this AI-driven search landscape?
Okay, so I think that now it's like many years in SEO, it's a bit more than just keywords, even if the base is like keywords, let's face it. And backlinks, we think a bit differently. We think about search intent and many more other things. And we think about technical SEO, so to make sure that crawlers can go on the website. So now, like, SEO became broader and broader, if you want, in a certain sense. And why I'm saying this is because often the result that you have by ranking well on Google or on Bing will have also an impact on ChatGPT and Perplexity, for example. So I would say focus, like from an SEO point of view, you can, obviously you need to do several stuff. But like the basic of SEO still stay to help also for everything that is search generative search. So the fact that you focus on improving the website, the fact that you try to build the authority of the brand through backlinks or mentions, for example. So now, like, for example, the company that I work, as I say, it's this big group, and inside the group, they have the PR team. Okay. They have the branding, they have the PR, they have everything. So before, I was working for a different kind of company, and I really didn't have access to everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very easy for me to have access. So in fact, if I want the brand to be well, no, I will go to the PR team, I will go to the brand team. And everybody will work with the SEO team. So I would say that it would be something more integrated, and we work all together. And by working all together, we improve normally the ranking, obviously, on search engine. But in fact, we create also an authority that also add, also help, for example, for ChatGPT or Perplexity or any other chatbot.
Yeah, it's a team effort.
Yeah, exactly.
So you talk about, you know, optimization goes beyond just ranking for keywords. What are some of the most important elements businesses should focus on now?
So I think then, like, if I am a business, it also depends where do I stand. But one of the things that I would focus at the moment, it's on branding, like collaborating with everybody, but I would focus on brand. Why? As I said before, like I gave you the example of Dyson. No? I'm pretty sure that if I write about my curly hairs and a hairdresser for curly hair, and I write it like on ChatGPT, probably I will have as an answer 99%. I didn't try, but I guess 99% I will have Dyson as a brand and come out. Why? Because in fact, they are very good. They are very good in their branding. They are very good in the consistency of the information. Mm-hmm. So if I have to choose something to focus at the moment, is then to have like a story, to have like a real consistency of the information online, which really ask a very big effort. Because one thing that I noticed over the time is that everybody have his own story. Every team has his own story. And sometimes everybody goes online and says something, and that doesn't work. So you really need a consistency, all the team working together, and this have the branding and have to create a sort of authority through the branding and be specialized in a specific domain. So when you arrive to that, normally there are bigger chance than if you have your authority in the domain, then you will be also in an LLM and like ChatGPT, et cetera. So you will be there, and by having question, either generic question, there are chances then your brand come out. So for example, I'm thinking about an insurance that I work for, and it's very important for them to be part of like their life insurance. So like if somebody is looking for a life insurance, is extremely important for them to be in ChatGPT, for example.
Yeah.
So obviously part of my role, it's no more just Google or just Bing, is to make sure that they are also there. And obviously this works because we work on the branding and we work to create a connection between what they do and the branding. So you need really to make the system, and I would say more search engine in this case, make them understand really all the connection, make them understand really your brand, your identity, your offering, and your target audience. This I would say then is the real goal. Mainly because like maybe 2 years ago or last year it was already a bit updated, but before an LLM was an LLM. So a ChatGPT was ChatGPT. So they were taking the information just from what they were trained. Now it's no more like this. Now they are interacting because they need fresh information, because they want to reduce the hallucination. So several technology are working together. So that means then also the information from the search engine are arriving there to feed the LLMs, and also I will stop there. I will not go too technical, but I will stop there. So the idea is that in fact the several systems speaks between them, and the information get they get the information also from other technologies.
Yeah, that kind of leads into my next question. So AI-generated search results often pull in content from multiple sources to create summaries. How can businesses ensure their brand is included in those responses and get pulled in from those sources?
So yes, I really think then one of the key, because they pull it from multiple sources, so it's really, if you notice, the sources that they are pulling it from are normally authoritative sources in a specific domain. And authority sources is because still you have the branding behind. Still you have the branding behind. So authoritative sources are important. It's really important to become an authoritative source in that case. And I would say, then one of the main difficulty that I personally find, even in authority sources, then sometimes you're like, hey, wow, why it's not there, this authority source, considering that it is an authority source? It's because sometimes they lack consistency of the information. And I really feel that lack of consistency is a big problem. So this is why I always speak also about branding, because in fact, if you have the branding behind, they directly tell you what you have to say. They directly give you a story. They directly give you the USP. So they are very structured. And that means then if you respect that, you will also have a consistency of the information all over. You will have it on your website. You will have it when you're speaking, on third party website. You will have it on social media, and you will have this consistency. And by having this consistency, you definitely have more chances to succeed.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point, and I totally agree with you that consistency is so like imperative. Especially when people are searching so many different places now, you want to make sure that your content and your brand voice and tone appear the same anywhere they can find you.
Yeah.
So with AI summarizing content, some people worry about decreased website traffic. What strategies can businesses use to capture engagement despite this shift?
Okay, so for me, this is a very difficult question because I still don't have an answer to that. But there is something that I noticed because I was also very worried about that. But in fact, since December, I accept on one client, which in fact is a news client, so I expected more, but no. All the clients had an increase in their analytics from their AI channel. So everything then was ChatGPT, Perplexity, and I don't know, there are so many nowadays. I don't even remember the name of those. But like now they had an increase in traffic. So since December, I see a consistent increase in traffic, which doesn't mean that they are taking like Google, for example, if you're in Europe, Google will still stay the main channel than they have, obviously, and the conversion will be much higher in number coming from Google, obviously, because it's much bigger. But what I've noticed is there is more traffic coming since December, and at the same time, proportionally, we have more conversion coming from these channels, so from the AI channels, than from Google, which is funny. Even if in quantity is like higher, obviously, Google, but still Google or being independent. I'm speaking about Google because most of my clients are located in Europe. But I really see then there is a potential, which I was not thinking before, to be honest, of having more conversion from everything coming from a channel.
Yeah.
So for example, I don't know, if you have your client, like yesterday I was checking also with the client, and for them it's the conversion comes by getting contacted. And in fact, proportionally, more people contact them after that they went through ChatGPT than through Google.
Oh, interesting.
Funny, no?
Yeah.
So also for me, this is like, I'm like,
yeah.
It's weird, no? But in fact, I noticed this is not an exception, because before speaking to this guy, to other one, I spoke, and it's a trend. It looks like a trend. I didn't test millions, then I can say, oh, it's really like this.
Yeah.
But I already checked it like on 10 and around 10, and they all have this. So
we will see. No, that's super promising to hear.
So yeah, we will see how that will go.
So content creation is evolving alongside search. What role do structured data, expertise signals, and storytelling play in helping brands stand out?
Yes. Okay, so these are three. Structured data. So let's start from one. So normally, like LLMs, ChatGPT, et cetera, are trained on structured text, because like they're trained on text, which obviously is not structured data. However, structured data have a lot of advantage, because when I have an input coming from a structured data, it means, for example, let's say the price. Okay, if I have schema price on a website, then I will have everything very structured. I will say the brand, I will say the name, I don't know, if our shoes, for example, like in Switzerland, we have a very famous brand that is All for shoes, running shoes. I don't know if you know it. I know it because I'm Swiss and I also eat a lot in America. So I was like, okay, maybe Americans and Swiss are perfectly like us. But in fact, you know, if they, for example, have shoes and then on their shoes, they will start like adding the price as a structured data. And then on the price, they add the description, then they add the brand. It means then the all information, then probably the LLM will do a new prompt and everything. But in fact, they have the information that are very like price, pump, brand, pump, type of shoes, pump. You know, everything is very clear.
Yeah.
And there is no space for misunderstanding. So in fact, if I'm asking you, for example, about a on shoes, I don't know, a cloud something, like one of their shoes. And I'm like, hey, how much does the Cloud 6 cost? And obviously I can check it on Google, but like say, ChatGPT can give me directly the answer because like anyway it's structured, it's very easy to grab as much as easy for Google. But as the two are the system work, obviously can grab this information and give us the answer. And it also means then they can compare at a certain point website and say, okay, if I ask you how much the on Cloud 6, give me the best price for the Cloud 6, blah, blah, blah. Probably I can get the answer because it would be a very easy thing to do as much as, for example, on IE overview on Google, then often they will give you like the price and the combination to find the cheapest one.
Yeah, structured data is so important. And I feel like it's like, it cannot be like overstated enough, like how important it is to have that, especially for like a shoe brand or really any business that has like products and different products and services.
Yes. And what it does, the second one it was?
Expertise signals.
Expertise signals. Okay. So what it was the role of expertise signals? I think that this is important, especially for the branding, no? So, for example, I was like discussing with the PR team initially when I joined the company last year, I was like, how do you work? In fact, it's sad because I was never working really with the PR team directly. Mm-hmm. And then, like classical PR, we will select some expert in the company, like in the company that they want to put in advance, and then they will make them visible, no? And then there will be this relationship between this person and the company. So for example, I don't know. Let's take me. Let's say then there is the PR that is pushing me as an expert, SEO expert, for example. Then there will be the relationship between me and the company that I'm working for. So that give me expertise. And for sure I have also experience, but in fact that like help also the brand to, people that are working there, for example, they are experts. And when they're saying something probably is because it's true. Doesn't mean that it's true, but like there is this perception at least.
Yeah. It's like even you doing this podcast today, you know, you'll appear on the Unmissed, you know, website, and that's a backlink to your business and you know, a mention of you. So it helps you build your personal brand. So yeah, definitely.
Yes, it's exactly that. So I, in the same work, like in a bigger scale, obviously, than me, but much in a bigger scale. And so I feel then the expertise signal is important to build a brand.
Absolutely. Agree. We have time for a couple more questions. One that I think is important to ask is, As AI continues to shape search, what do you see as the biggest opportunities for brands that are willing to adapt early?
Okay. Okay, let me think a second to this one. Okay, so there are two parts of it. So I think the brand should adapt now. Like I remember this graph coming from Semrush. Then I saw online, it was like, because somebody was speaking at Brighton SEO San Diego. Now I have this image, and in fact, they were saying, if the adoption rate stayed the same in 4 years, there will be a switch from LLMs to from Google to LLMs, like if the adoption rate stayed the same. So in fact, for me, it means let's work now. Yeah. Don't wait to approach the problem. So the first step, I would say, for everybody is to do an audit. It doesn't mean like hire the agency to do an audit. You can obviously hire the agency to do an audit, but the idea is you need to start yourself probably. Like try to think and try to say, okay, this I would like, I don't know, I work for this company XY, and what I want is then this is the message, and what I want is then this LLM, so this chatbot, for example, ChatGPT, give me as an answer that. Okay, so a relationship between what you want to say and what they are saying, like what the chatbots are saying and what you want to say. So there have to be a relationship. If there is a discrepancy, when you're asking, for example, I work at Blueglass, and if I ask what Blueglass does, and they are telling me, I don't know, we do, I don't know, we do fish, for example, then I would have a problem because we are a digital marketing agency, you know? Yeah. So it's not possible. So there, the discrepancy is clearly very big. And then you have to work to figure out why there is this big discrepancy. Or if they are telling me, okay, for example, Blueglass does digital marketing, and then I'm happy about that, but they say, but there is nobody doing SEO, then I would be like, okay, we need to work on this. Yeah. And at the same time, you can ask what the LLM like think about your brand. Like, for example, is Blueglass a good brand? Yes or no?
Yeah.
And then you directly have an answer. Like if they're saying, normally they always say something positive, but in the positive, you can figure out how positive it is. And if it is this weird positive, then you have to work on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Such a good idea. I didn't even think of that, but that is like such a good idea to ask the LLM itself, like, what do you think of my brand and like, how can I improve it?
Yeah, exactly. So maybe how can I improve it? You have to do it yourself, like figure out like by auditing a bit, but at least start by figuring out what is the feedback directly coming from the LLM.
Yeah, that's awesome. One last question. If a business wants to start optimizing for generative search today, what is the first step they should take? I guess you kind of answered that in a way, though, like you kind of recommended doing the audit, but do you have any other tips?
Yeah, so I normally, it's just that normally I start by the audit. So this is why I would anyway start by that. So for me, that is like the basic, because you have to know where you stand, and sorry, I have the sun behind.
Oh,
so sometimes
okay.
I disappear. Yeah, man, yeah. I disappear again. I'm
it's
just
okay.
trying to black
okay.
myself from like the sun.
At least it's pretty there today.
So anyway, coming back to your question, yes. So it's very difficult for me to answer because for me, everything starts where the brand stand. You know, some brands stand really, they are not visible at all. And you know that there they will ask a lot of investment because you need to make them become an entity first. Then you need really to check their website and have to be clean and the messaging and everything have to be there. And then you really have the external part. So that is a lot of effort. And some, as for example, their entities. So in the sense, for example, on Google, I don't know, like maybe I shouldn't have used the word entity, but the idea is like they are, for example, part of Google Knowledge Graph, which is a huge database. And then the idea is that is the first step. And then if that already works, probably you know, then search engine have an understanding of the brand, okay? Have an understanding of the company. And if they have an understanding of the company, there are also chances that probably also a system like ChatGPT has an understanding of the company. So there is some correlation between the two. Again, not at the level of technology, but at the level of information, there is some correlation. So so I would really say, first step, it's really to do your audit and check where do you stand, because based on where do you stand, the approach will be different.
Right, yeah. The
requirements are different.
Yeah, it gives you, you have to figure out what you have to work toward to mm-hmm. stand out more.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Sarah, this has been such an insightful conversation. I really appreciate all the information you shared with us today. Where can our listeners connect with you and learn more about your work?
So normally I'm quite connected on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So I would say LinkedIn is probably the easiest way to find me. If not, you can always write me an email at blueglass team farmer, and normally if you go on a team page, you find my email address. I would not say it here because I don't know it by heart. 1 year later, I still don't know it.
Yeah.
But in fact, okay. It's more LinkedIn or my professional email address.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you again, Sarah, so much for joining us and sharing your expertise. For our listeners, if you found this conversation valuable, don't forget to subscribe to the Unmissed podcast and leave a review. And if you're looking to improve your brand's website visibility in this new era of search, check out unmissed.com's free website audit tool. It only takes a few clicks to get actionable insights to enhance your brand's digital presence. This has been the Unmissed podcast, and we will see you next time. Thanks.